And you've been listening to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we learned a number of things, and I certainly did, particularly the first guest, Gordon Thompson, the extent to which there had been technology available for decades, going back to the beginning of nuclear power, that would prevent a core meltdown. The technology is available, exists. It's just the utilities that were too cheap to employ it. And think about the consequences of that in Japan today. We have no idea how bad this is. We know it's an ongoing catastrophe, and it's probably going to be a lot worse than Chernobyl was, and that was bad enough. And a small country like that getting this kind of contamination is very, very grim. And let us only hope that President Obama will learn from this lesson. It is mystifying to think that he drank the nuclear power industry's Kool-Aid and is about to give them $36 billion of your money in subsidies without which they would not exist, because Wall Street doesn't like nuclear power. It's not viable. It requires massive subsidy. And of course, we then spoke with one of the leading authorities in the entire world on the delivery of power to large populations, David Freeman, the former head of the Tennessee Valley Authority, New York Power, the LA Department of Water and Power. He's also the state of California's energy czar, who saved us from Enron's $60 billion ripoff. And he basically has been fighting the good fight from within the system for many, many years. And he was deeply disappointed in environmentalists who drank the Kool-Aid that somehow or other the nuclear power is necessary to mitigate against global warming. And the availability of wind, which has already filled the gap at any rate, there have been many, many megawatts of wind power come online. Not one megawatt of nuclear power has come online in the last several decades. So in terms of new power, so already these technologies are proving themselves. So I guess the good news there is that maybe this accident will spur a revival of alternative energies. And then finally, we spoke to a former translator and former Libyan diplomat who was a translator for Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. He got to know the guy pretty well, says that in many ways the fact that we dismiss him as a nutcase is to his benefit, because he's crazy, but crazy like a fox. He also said that something has to be done in order to allow the rebels to take out Gaddafi's son Hamisa's 32nd Brigade, which is the only fighting force that he has that's responsible for all the victories that they're having now in places like the oil port of Brega and others. And that is why the no-fly zone is so important, to eliminate Gaddafi's air power, so that they could finally, the rebels, ill-trained and ill-equipped as they are, could take on the 32nd Brigade and perhaps take away Gaddafi's main military asset. But the consequences and the very portent of Gaddafi winning is pretty grim. And that is something that we all have to accept as a real possibility, that there'll be major bloodletting. And I imagine if it happens, the Republicans are going to go to town on Obama in the next election, saying he's the man who lost Libya, and look at this terrible terrorist thumbing his nose at the world community. On my blog today, I did actually talk about the nuclear power issue, and it's worth checking out in terms of some of the themes that we discussed in today's program. And tomorrow, of course, who knows what's going to happen in Japan? We really don't know. All we know is that it's bad and it's getting worse, and it could be beyond belief in terms of the hideous nature of this ongoing tragedy. So stay tuned. Check me out at ianmasters.com, and that's it.